Cheese, bringing to market blocks and wheels of cheese. Samples available. Winter market is open from 10 until 2. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm your host, Laura Sumner Kuhn, and I'm excited this morning that we have our guest, Pamela Handrow, who is the Executive Director of Bethany Apartments. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm glad that you're here and you could enlighten us a little bit about Bethany Apartments and the mission and kind of the situation of women and children who find themselves to be without a home, having gone through a period of domestic violence. We're talking with you this morning, kind of in advance of October, which is the month in which we kind of stop and recognize the problems with domestic violence in our community and around the world. And there are more than 10 million Americans who are victims of physical violence annually in this country. The problem may be growing. Could you give us a little idea about domestic violence in our community, maybe, or nationwide, and what trends you're seeing at this time?
Well, fortunately, in one regard, there has been a lot more attention paid to domestic violence at the legal level and with law enforcement in a proactive way to try to eliminate the harm that is caused by it. But unfortunately, in our community, Racine, we've seen several deaths in recent months that were the result of domestic violence. And unfortunately, it's a situation and problem that is not seeming to get much better. Anytime there are socioeconomic factors in either the family or the community that cause stress, there is increased incidence of domestic violence. I don't have specific statistics at this point in time, but I can say, as you're saying, it's a situation that is seemingly getting somewhat worse from various perspectives. And as I said, we've had some headline unfortunate articles recently that really bring it to our attention. Women and children are not the only victims of domestic violence. Obviously, it impacts men and entire families. Bethany Apartments, however, was established because women seem to suffer the most as a result of the domestic abuse that they received in their situations. The situations often were such that the women were the child bearers and therefore were at home, had little control over finances or other situations. So in 1989 through 1990, the Dominican Sisters were working with the Women's Resource Center at that point in time and realized that after a period of shelter, which is what Women's Resource Center offers from 30 to even 60 days, there were many women that had no place to go and were unable to find apartments and live independently. So it was determined there was a need for transitional housing. And Bethany Apartments is a program of Catherine Marion Housing, and it has 12 apartments and serves up to 12 families at any given time. The configurations are 4 one-bedroom, 4 two-bedroom, and 4 three-bedroom. Women can stay at Bethany Apartments for up to 24 months, but we kind of take it on a month-to-month basis. And I like to say that we're so much more than housing. Bethany Apartments obviously offers low-cost, affordable, clean, safe housing for the women we serve, but we also offer support in many other ways.
Bethany Apartments serves this really unique niche on which I think is kind of ingenious about it. And I have to say at the forefront, I'm not a stranger to Bethany Apartments, which is a program that is supported by the Racine Dominicans. And for a time, I served on the Bethany Apartment Board, and I'm a Racine Dominican associate, so I'm fairly familiar with Bethany Apartments and its mission. But you work in a whole continuum of care for people who are homeless or and or victims of domestic abuse, and many of you seem to work together with HALO and Racine and the Women's Resource Center, which is the shelter that immediately takes women and children who are victims of domestic violence, but for a temporary time, as you've said. And it seems impossible that a woman who decides to leave a household where she and her children or her children have been victimized by an abuser and then find themselves without a home, having to often leave the community that they're living in for safety. So they're in a new place, maybe don't have any connections because they don't want to be found to be safe in order to build a new life. And who can possibly do that in 30 days at a temporary shelter? So Bethany seems to serve this very unique niche for women who have been at the shelter for that 30 or 60 days, but still have to repair their whole lives. Many of them, as you've said, might have been the caretakers for their children and perhaps don't have the education background or don't have a means by which they could earn their own money to be on their own two feet. So you've put together a remarkable program to kind of lift women and children up. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more in depth. Walk us through what happens when somebody just arrives. Well, first of all, how does somebody just arrive at Bethany? And then what kinds of services do you do to support them, Pam?
And as you said, it's a very unique population, and 12 apartments is frequently not enough. Unfortunately, it's unique, but the need for our program seems to be growing. Women who come to us generally do come to us from Women's Resource Center. We work closely with them collaboratively in many ways, including having some shared programming through a grant that we have. But at any rate, once a woman is entered into Women's Resource Center and it becomes obvious to their advocates and case managers there that they're going to need ongoing support and housing, they start communicating with us. And obviously with 12 apartments, it sometimes depends on if we have an opening, which is often not the case. Women's Resource Center, I know, has been forced to take women and keep them longer than they would like, which kind of causes a backlog even for those needing emergency shelter. But at any rate, if there's somebody and it appears that we're going to have an opening in the near future, we start working with them and talking with the women. It's a very self-driven, strength-based program. It's the women who are making the changes in their lives, and we're just there kind of to support them and help them with suggestions or make some connections with them. I always say that the programming at Bethany is not something we do for the women or to the women. It's something we do with them. And I think that's so important for them, you know, to know that we believe that they have the strength to do this going forward. So at any rate, there is an intake process, and sometimes we have several applicants for each apartment, which makes it very difficult. We do look at their need. You know, if we have a three-bedroom apartment open and there's a single woman looking for housing, we would rather keep that for a family who needs that kind of housing. But we work with other resources to make sure that that woman may have other resources in the community. We then, once a woman has indicated she wants to have what Bethany offers, we do start the process. And there's very few eligibility requirements other than that as a result of being in shelter and they are homeless, and that's our definition of homeless, and that they have experienced domestic abuse or violence at some point. usually in the recent past. So at any rate, that's where we start. Unfortunately, because we are dealing with individuals who have suffered domestic abuse and are survivors, we do have some security and safety rules that it is independent living. You have your own apartment. You sign a rental agreement. But we do expect that you comply with certain rules to make sure that both you and your family and the other families and staff in the building are safe at all times.
Could you walk us through some of that? And I think one of the things we should pause for a moment to think about is what domestic violence actually is. I mean, I think sometimes we get so saturated by hearing phrases such as domestic violence that we don't really pause long enough to consider what does that really mean? You know, and how does it occur in our community? And so maybe just as a short segue, you can say that these are some of the situations of domestic violence that we encounter, just so that we refresh in our mind what kind of trauma these families have actually gone through.
And yes, and you'll hear me using both domestic abuse and domestic violence as we speak, because primarily the domestic piece of the phrase is obviously that it's in a household, in an intimate living situation with somebody that you know is probably, and that you have some form of relationship, is where the abuse or the violence can occur. And domestic abuse is certainly a matter of somebody else taking control through force or through intimidation or through a variety of methods, basically of your entire life, limiting who you can talk to, limiting access to funds, refusing to permit you to go out into the workforce to complete your education or to get an education, threatening you with, if you leave me, I'll take the children, threatening you with, if you choose to leave me, then I'll make your life miserable. I'll see to it that you have no money. Always the fear of violence, always the fear if you don't comply with their wishes or obey, that they then will physically harm you. And there is that fear of physical harm that's always attached to domestic violence. And this happens more often than people realize. And it happens in situations. And sometimes, because of those dependencies, the women are reluctant to leave or even go to shelter. And often it takes a couple of times that they return to the abuser prior to permanently leaving. So it's kind of an insidious beginning. And often there is the what we call the honeymoon period after an episode where it's, oh, I'm so sorry, this will never happen again. And even some attempts at getting help or counseling. But then often that slippery slope and they're starting to do the controlling and it may happen again. And unfortunately, the violence escalates each time that there is an incident.
So because you have this family in trauma that the woman has decided to make this break, which is a tremendous emotional decision, right? They come to you for help. Let's go back a little bit to what are the expectations of somebody who comes to Bethany Apartment, not only in light of you know, what kind of safety precautions Bethany Apartments expects of its residents so that all of the residents are safe. It's all in the same building. Not only that, but also what kind of expectations you have that this person is going to be able to help bring on a whole new life, you know, take the steps necessary to usher in a whole new scenario for their lives.
As I said, women can stay in program for up to 24 months, which initially sounds like a long time. However, when you realize the obstacles and barriers that many of these women face, it can be a very short time when you think about having to get your GED and some job skills. So we operate on a system of case management, which means that Bethany Apartments runs with 4 staff. So we're not a large organization, but we all have our jobs and our duties. And we do have a full-time case manager, Michelle, whose job is to meet with the women early on and help them determine what their goals and what they need to accomplish during those 2 years. And sometimes that's hard to define at first when you get there. And there's at first you just want a place to live, safety and security. However, that clock is ticking, and it's not long before women realize that, oh my gosh, I have to do something. And case management means not that we provide all of those services. We're very well connected to the rest of the social service delivery system. And as you said, we're part of the Alliance for Homelessness and Housing, which used to be known as the Continuum of Care in Racine County. And so we work very closely with, as you said, Women's Resource Center, HALO, Safe Haven of Racine, Hope Center, everybody who deals with marginalized persons who can offer some support in different ways. We get women attached to counseling if that's what they think is best. We have continued ongoing relationships with Women's Resource Center for some trauma-informed services, specifically regarding domestic violence survival. And we also have some children's programming that we're developing with them. So in those 2 years, if they want a GED or if they want to go to Gateway or if they want to go to Parkside, we kind of open those doors and help them know how to make those connections. Counseling, budgeting, we work with them on financial literacy. If you've never had control of money, you don't necessarily know how to manage it. We help them get the benefits that they may be entitled to within the community, whether it's Social Security, disability, or W-2, or food share, if they don't have those things. So it's kind of like an all-service, one-stop operation for them to define with staff what they need to become self-sufficient and independent, and how they can accomplish that. So there's meetings to look at those goals on a regular basis.
You also, I don't know if you still do, but Bethany Apartments also used to have, I don't know if they were weekly or monthly meetings of all the residents at Bethany Apartments. I would imagine part of that philosophy was so that they could support each other and also, you know, who's doing what in the house, so to speak, in the apartment building. And other issues of financial security that you can address with experts coming in to talk to the families. That seems to be a component, that group meeting seems to be a component that might not be something you would typically find in a shelter situation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And again, as I said, through a grant, we have actually strengthened our relationship with Women's Resource Center. And actually, they do have some groups that women attend there as part of, and as I said, women are staying there sometimes longer than initially thought was what would happen. So they make sure that they have some support there in the form of groups. But we do offer weekly groups, either at least once a week, through Women's Resource Center, and we also offer a second group, and we also now have a residence council, which it means it's totally women driven, and our residents are in control of that group, and they devise what's going to be the agenda for their meetings each month, and they bring in speakers that they wish to have. We have a relationship with Educators Credit Union, and Wally comes in and does the financial literacy stuff with the women who need it. So we actually have those kinds of things. We're looking at doing some programming to help moms get their kids to attend school regularly and help the kids work on grades, all of those things that have longer term effects as far as self-sufficiency. And they also, when you're feeling secure of yourself and your abilities, I think it also helps break that cycle of even the poverty and certainly the violence. If you have the will to stay out of those situations, it can teach your children valuable lessons. So yes, we have groups. All of our services are voluntary, but we try to give the women incentives and make it of their wishes, something they are interested in, so that they do attend.
So we have this apartment that a woman who's just gone through the temporary shelter process has the opportunity to live in rent-free. I think that's spectacular that they're able to stay there. Maybe there is some sliding scale of support that you expect from them. Can you give us an idea of how that, as a person who is coming into your program, how you help them find those financial resources and then also take on some of that responsibility themselves?
Absolutely. And yes, we are very forgiving landlords. If somebody is having a very difficult time for a month, all they do is come and talk to us and we'll make arrangements. However, part of becoming self-sufficient and independent is having a budget and recognizing that when you leave Bethany Apartments, you will be paying rent. We do use the HUD standards, 30% of income. It's also calculated based upon how many children you have and some other factors. However, we do have a minimum rent expectation of $50 a month. Again, simply to start that thought process of I have to pay my rent and I have to put that money aside. Quite honestly, our program runs pretty leanly. We do not have grants that actually pay for the rental portion. So we have women paying various amounts based on their employment or their circumstances. But we have instituted the $50 minimum. And like I said, if there's an absolute situation, we're not going to evict somebody if they can't come up with their rent for a month or two. And we do work with them.
Well, realistically, in light of the housing world in our community, it's difficult for a family to find anything to rent for under, what, maybe $800? To $1,000, it's pretty typical monthly rent. So $50 is something that somebody who finds themselves in this incredible situation might be able to handle eventually, if not right away, when they come to you. Let's talk a little bit about what experiences you've had at Bethany Apartments and what kind of success you've seen come from there. While we would have to be very careful not to identify anybody because these are families who have escaped a traumatic situation and for their own livelihood and safety have to shield themselves from revealing where they are in as they set up a new life. But maybe there's some way that you could tell us a little bit about some of the successes or at least the growth that you've seen of families who have come to you.
Yes, and obviously it's sometimes a very difficult path that the women are on, but we do see successes. And generally the women who are the most successful are those that are willing to take advantage of all of the services and things that we have to offer. We've had a variety of successes, and as I said, we work closely with other organizations. And I do have to be careful because even giving some details may be revealing of somebody's identity. But we have had a very young person who came to us. We started becoming aware of her because she was visiting very frequently her grandmother, who was a program participant of ours and was living in our building. And we finally learned from the grandmother that she was indeed couch surfing and herself and this young woman was homeless. Well, we worked with Safe Haven of Racine, who also has a housing program, through their program, housed her with Bethany Apartments, a great collaboration.
Wow.
And very, you know, bright young woman. And while she was there, she took advantage of a new county program called Start IT. Never in a million years dreamt that she was going to be in computers. And it was perfect. She was their, I believe, their first cohort and one of their star students. And subsequently got an internship with Racine County. And I'm probably giving too much information. But she ultimately is now employed in that field and on her own in her own apartment. So that's just one story. We currently have recently had a resident who came to us with had run to Wisconsin from way out west and had traveled here simply to leave a domestic abuse situation and had some contacts in Wisconsin and ended up at the Women's Resource Center and was there for quite a while. and while she was there, and even prior to that, and Will, you know, did have some substance abuse issues, you know, along, you know, with some other issues that resulted from her being in that violent situation. However, she, even when she was abusing substances, managed to complete her bachelor's degree and knew early on that she wanted a different life. Well, since she's been with us, she has worked on a master's degree, has less than a year to go with us if she chooses to be there, but herself is helping lead our resident advisor, our residence council, and is working at a couple of jobs that will hopefully open up things in her field later on. So, and she's one of the individuals that works closely with us, works closely with case management, doesn't hesitate to ask, but on the other hand is also a leader for the other women in the program. And we have numerous stories like that over the years. And I think as you indicated, you'd served some time on the board. Presently, we have one is just going off the board after her term expired, but two former residents who served on the board of directors. Our resident manager was a woman who came to Bethany Apartments and was in a terribly violent situation and also had some immigration status issues as a result of that. She was pregnant with her child, who has just turned 8. So she did her 24 months in our program, and it just happened that our resident manager position opened up, which comes with an apartment, so that position lives on site. She herself is completing, she became a citizen last year and is completing an educational program in addition for working for us, and is well on the way to obviously a very, you know, successful life for herself, and will always be able to support her children.
And you bring up something important, that Bethany Apartments isn't only just working with adults, it's also providing shelter for children who are recovering from traumatic experiences, often having to leave one parent because of the situation. Even if it were horrendous, that's still a difficult emotional break that a child has to make. And to see these children come often from into a whole new community, into a whole new setting, into a whole new school, trying to determine who they are and where, what's their family now, and how do you go from here, has to be quite an overwhelming situation that most children would find themselves in coming to Bethany. How have you seen a stable environment impact the children? What is there anything that you can share about how the children are supported and go on?
As you said, you know, we sometimes forget that the children have either witnessed or themselves have been abused in that situation, and often, like you said, have strong relationships with both parents or the other party in the home. And anytime there's upheaval and transition, it's difficult for children. And also, again, they move into shelter and then they're moving into another apartment. And as you said, all of those disruptions to their life. Often also because of everything the mothers are having to deal with, they may not even be able or to give them the kind of attention that they want at that point in time. So I think the biggest positive impact once they come to Bethany Apartments is, number one, they have a place to live for a period of time. It's an apartment, it's theirs. They can decorate it as they want. We provide most of the furnishings, but they're, you know, once they're in, they can do with it what they want. We then start working with the moms so that they can work on the things they need, which relieves some of their stress, so they can additionally spend some more time with the children. Children are often down. We have a very nice common area in the lower part of our building, which has a giant playhouse that was donated to us, and toys galore. It's children are delighted as soon as they see it, younger ones particularly. So they're down there, and we have programming. And while moms are in group, like you said, we have groups. And while moms are in the groups, we have staff and volunteers who are out doing activities and playing with the children. So it becomes routine for them. You know, moms get them on the bus. They know where they're going to school. And so they just kind of settle into a routine. And again, we help moms if the children do need some other services as a result of, or for whatever reason, as a result of the abuse or otherwise, we help them get connected with those services as well. But I think children, as we know, react to how their parents are feeling. And the more stress we can alleviate for the moms, I think the more the children respond positively to that as well.
Well, that's wonderful. And it, as you describe what Bethany Apartments attempts to do, it's always in network with other organizations or other resources in the community that can help lift up a family. And I think that's really important for us to consider, which is the case for many nonprofits. Bethany Apartments is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And I think many nonprofits work with other nonprofits to make sure to get all the services available for the people that they're trying to serve, to empower them to have a stronger life. So while partially your funding is probably coming from some government funds for shelter, certainly those funds do not cover everything that is needed for somebody who enters a program, and they're in short supply and shared by so many of the other nonprofit organizations in our communities, mm-hmm. That you also have to look at raising other kinds of resources and funds to support those families. So I know that you have a fundraiser coming up in October during the month in which we recognize domestic violence and abuse. And it's the Heart of the Family Strength for Community fundraiser that you have. Can you tell us a little bit about that event coming up?
Yes, it's become an annual event. And as you said, it's an opportunity to make the community aware once again of the fact that domestic violence is unfortunately with us still in this community. It also commemorates the survivors of domestic violence and abuse, and actually gives us pause to think about those unfortunate who did not survive. But what we do during our annual fundraiser is, number one, come together, bring the community together to have some fun, but also learn about domestic violence. And as you said, our next event is on October 5th at Infusino's Banquet Hall from 11 to 1, and it's a kind of a pizza party, but it is an opportunity. We are going to have keynote speaker Agnes Kirby, who herself is a survivor of domestic violence, and she's going to share with us some of her experiences and what allowed her to get beyond her situation and survive. And obviously, we do the raffles and the you know, the baskets and all of those kinds of things that help support domestic violence through supporting Bethany Apartments. So it is something we're celebrating, just about our 30th anniversary of housing women. And so it's just an opportunity to make the public aware. And sometimes people say, well, I never heard of Bethany Apartments. Well, part of the reason for that is we don't have a giant sign in front of our building because we don't want to draw undue attention to the fact that we have vulnerable individuals living in that apartment. And quite honestly, we don't have to market a great deal to get women to take advantage of the program because we have a ready supply. So this is an opportunity to let the public know what we do. And I'd be remiss in not saying that we do get support from some foundations and organizations. And as you said, we do have a federal grant, which we're in our second year of, which was a godsend, quite honestly, from the Office on Violence Against Women, which is specifically for transitional housing for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So clearly the federal government, but that covers not quite a third of our budget. We are a United Way of Racine County agency, are ungrateful for that. The Racine Community Foundation, the S.C. Johnson Fund, a variety of funders have been loyal and true to us and helped us, and some inside the community and many outside. However, that's still another maybe one-third of our budget, not even. And so we do depend on individuals. And as I said, most of the federal dollars actually pay for staff. It doesn't really pay for the upkeep of our building, which we do own, and it's a large building. It used to be an elementary school that was converted into apartments. So we do depend on public, you know, support. I think we operate in a very businesslike manner. You know, we do things. So this is the fundraising event is just one opportunity, you know, to support Bethany Apartments. And we do have other things going on, and our webpage always has those available. And actually, people who are interested can simply go to our webpage and support us.
If domestic violence and aiding people who are recovering from domestic violence is something that somebody really wishes to be a part of, there are probably other ways that they can also engage with Bethany Apartments. Are there some other ways other than just financial gifts that people can get involved?
Yes, we have various groups of volunteers who are also very helpful. We have a group from S.C. Johnson, who's come monthly for, I think, over 10 years to do a monthly dinner for the residents. During the holidays, we have groups of organizations who provide parties and gifts to make sure all the residents, and particularly their children, have everything they need. We are often looking for board members. We have, you know, certain areas of interest that we have, but, you know, certainly becoming a member of the board would certainly be something, if you're interested in doing, would be a great consideration. Other volunteer opportunities, if you have a special skill or talent you think you'd like to share with the women, give us a call. Our website is bethanyapartments.org, and all of our contact information is available there. But certain donations, we do appreciate a call ahead of time and say, you know, to ask us if we actually need what it is you have to offer. But there are things we are always in search of, such as dressers and things of that nature. So, yes, and yes, financial support is nice, but we also accept food donations. You know, we have St. Lucie's Church provides food pantry items on a regular basis. So, yeah, if you think there's something you want to do, just let us know.
That's a wonderful reminder that you're supporting a family that is coming to you with nothing. So the furnishings that go into the apartment, the food that they need to live on as they're all ramping up for rebuilding their lives are all everyday needs that they encounter. So there are many different ways that people can offer assistance to the families that you serve. That's a wonderful thing. Let's look at the future a little bit. Could you give us some idea of what you're thinking about the future of helping domestic violence survivors in our community? What do you see as either the need going forward in the next few years or how things might be changing in the next few years?
And that's a very interesting question, because we have seen hope that our economy is improving. And certainly when the economy improves, the women that we serve, you know, can maybe find employment. What we do find is that although there are more jobs available, often it is difficult for women to keep them due to the hours that they work. If it's a third shift job, it's difficult to find childcare, some of those concerns. Or because hours may not be steady and sporadic and they have no other way to get their children from school, they may not be able to take jobs. Also, living wage jobs are still difficult. And as we talked about earlier, women often come to us with a lack of education or no employable skills, things that they have not learned about how to get and keep a job. And we work with them on all of that. Going forward, we are hopeful that the whole Foxconn opportunity makes things better for jobs. Affordable housing is still difficult for women to obtain, and I see that as getting more expensive. So going forward, I wish I could say we'd be able to shut our doors in 2 years because there's no need for what we do, but I don't see that happening. We have frequent, constant calls, even from outside of our normal network of individuals, from people on the streets looking for housing. So I think any efforts are being made. I think there just needs to be more attention paid. And fortunately, there are people who care about this, but there may actually need to be an increase of housing and services available to people, at least to give them a boost, you know, for a period of time.
You bring up an interesting thing. So you have these families for up to 24 months after they come to you. Finding affordable housing for them to move into when their time is done has got to be quite the challenge because, as we've discussed, rent is so incredibly high. In fact, there's been nationwide talk about the escalation of rental costs or housing costs in general across the country, particularly for families to be able to absorb. So how do you go about finding places for these families to live in?
My philosophy is we need to start at intake working on exit because, unfortunately, as you said, we have families of five and need at least a three-bedroom apartment, and that's going to be at least $1,000 a month. And we're not talking about the quality of the housing either that may or may not be available. So we also have the barriers of many of our women have evictions and poor rental histories. So we are trying to cultivate a group of landlords who may be able to help us. And if you're one of those and are willing to take a chance on women who would have aftercare and supervision after they leave us, you know, that would be a great thing to happen. But we need to find places where women can go, and also the general populations that are in any of our shelters need that kind of thing. But we start working early with them to do what they can to clean up their records and do whatever they need to make them better candidates. And obviously, give them references and say we've had 2 good years of experience with them. But it's a challenge, and we recognize that, but we work hard at trying to overcome some of those barriers.
Well, Pamela, it's been a delight to have you on the show this morning. You've really kind of opened our eyes to what Bethany Apartments does and also what women and children who have survived domestic violence and abuse have had to encounter as they rebuild their lives. And we wish you great success with your fundraiser coming up October 5th. We hope that there are listeners who know how to engage with you if they are interested in helping families to be able to do so in all those different ways that you have indicated for us. So much continued success with your program is wished for you and certainly for the families who have endured so much. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and Monday's morning show here on WGTD is going to include a conversation with a 2017 Carthage graduate named Matt Tomey, who was recently back at Carthage for their first annual Aspire Conference. Matt Tomey is on the staff of the Sacramento Kings. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program, which coaches every Carthage student to customize a career development plan. Information at carthage.edu/aspire.
Well, this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, it's the music of the duo Bettman and Halpin.
I am eastbound to Westville, and my hopes are riding high. Stars are fading back into
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m., here on WGTD HD.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Funeral Home. Have you recently lost someone close to you? Get relief by attending Grief Share, Surviving the Holidays, Sunday, November 17th, from 3 to 5 p.m. Call Ann at 262-658-4101 to register.
Support comes from Carthage College, welcoming Nancy Tate, co-chair of the 2020 Women's Vote Centennial Initiative, discussing the history of the suffrage movement, the national commemoration, and the continuing push for equality. Tuesday, October 29th at 6 in the Todd Ware Center.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha-Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available.